Tony Bennett, Diana Krall, Saturday morning, hot and cold. Good morning, I'm Tom. It's November 2nd. It has been a warm autumn. I am announcing it today. Okay, you ready? It's the beginning of the heating season. Today is the day. All right, we've really slid. I mean, usually I have actually a friend of mine years ago told me that he didn't turn on the heating system till October 10th. And I thought that was a good number. Well, we slid through that like nothing. And looking ahead, I did a scan of upcoming weather for the next week or so. I think we're there. I think it's time. So I finished doing my heating system. So so there's the reason to announce the beginning of the heating season. You know, if I could wait long enough, I mean, I should get paid for this, to procrastinate and put off the heating needs of the state of Maine. I think that, you know, I don't need big money. Minor remuneration is fine. Think of the money we've all saved. Now I just want you to thank me. But I did finish, excuse me, I had a little bit of plumbing to do. I had one little pipe to hook up, and it was no big deal. And what happened is I came home from work, Wednesday or Thursday. And yeah, I had in my mind, I'm going to finish this up. And I sit down and I check email and I look at the internet and I put on the news, and then I proceed to fall asleep and wake up. And I don't know if this happens to you, but it's happened to me. If I fall asleep, just, you know, I'm home from work and I'm around twilight and it isn't quite dark yet, I haven't put the light on, and maybe the TV's on, maybe it's not. Usually it is, because it puts me right to sleep. I'll wake up and it's dark out. I don't know what time it is, what day it is. I think it's Saturday morning and I fell asleep on the sofa and I missed the radio show. Whatever night it was during the week, I got up, I kind of stumbled into the kitchen, have a drink of water, and I thought, yeah, I got to finish the heating system. So I went down to the basement, and, you know, I literally am talking about putting in a piece of pipe that's maybe a foot and a half long, with maybe, I think it had one elbow on it, and it was already put together. It was all PEX, and it's already put together. The crimp rings have not been crimped, because I'm just, you know, gotta have something to look forward to. So I finished plumbing it. I tested the plumbing, made sure everything was working right. All the circulators are in place. 96% of the wiring is done. I've got to just wire up a couple little things, and I've got alligator clips. I don't know about you if you do any electronics work, but I do a lot of electronics things and always need alligator clips, you know, a little jumper with alligator clips on both ends. And I just keep buying them because I break them, I lose them. So I've got like 100 of them spread around my shop. I've got some in the basement home. So if I fire it up and need to, if I don't hardwire it, I'll alligator clip everything, and we'll be in business. The oil, I have actually got oil for my shop radiant floor and for my house, and so we'll be firing up the oil's coming today, so we're firing up the heating system. So it's upon us. What are we going to do? And then in the office, as long as I'm talking about heating and things that got done, I think I told you last week I got the pellet stove running in the office that had all the motherboard had. Something had failed control-wise, and I've got it almost running automatically. Not quite. I only use it while I'm there. So, and I've instructed Pete as to how to light it off this morning. So If we don't hear from Pete, it might be because of the fire. But but it's nice having a pellet stove in what is a fairly small office because it heats up real fast. And I'll shut it off maybe after if I run in an hour. And that, again, it hadn't been that cold, but I run in an hour. Just place just stays warm all day. But we've done a couple things in the process. building, we gutted the building, had fiberglass in the walls, 2x4 walls. I cut and fit foam in the walls, covered it with covered it with OSB just so it was easy to, it was fast, and it was easy to hang stuff off it because it's all, you can put screws in anywhere. And on the outside, I've been wrapping the outside of the building with another 1.5 inches of foam before I put the finished surface on. So it's reasonably tight. It's not finished in terms of insulating, but it's reasonably tight at this point. And I've been very, very impressed with the results thus far, although there is some other. There is still tightening to do. I've got to re-weather strip the two doors and... and I don't know if you know this or not. If you have a insulated door, an insulated steel door, an insulated fiberglass door, most kinds of doors you would buy at a home center or lumber yard, the weather stripping does wear out. It does kind of, I won't say shrink, but it deforms over time. And you can replace that. It usually just pops right into a slot in the door frame, and you can pull that out and put new weather stripping in. We're not talking big money. So you can make the door tight again without having to replace the door. I think a lot of people just replace doors because the weather stripping is gone. They think it's all kind of messed up, and it really isn't. So it's a cheap date. It's a couple, maybe it's $20. Speaking of cheap dates, about 10? No, it's more than 10 years. 12 years ago, maybe. My daughter bought a house, and I redid everything in the house. And we in the kitchen, we have a GFI in the outlet, in a wall outlet on the countertop. And it controls all the outlets that are in the kitchen that should be controlled. And she told me that her microwave wasn't working last week. And it turns out it wasn't the microwave. It was the microwave was plugged into a GFI outlet, and the GFI had failed. So I went this morning to pick up a new GFI, and now it's been 12 years. And my recollection was 12 years ago, the ground fault interrupter outlet kind was about $7-$8. And they are now 16 to maybe $25-$26 for the same thing. That's quite a jump in a short period of time when usually electronics things go down in price. And I shopped it. I went to a couple different places this morning, and I was not impressed. But then again, I'm getting to be an old guy, and you know, the older you get, the more cranky you get about the cost of things. So I guess that kind of makes sense. Anyway, it's 8:15. It means we got to take a break. And when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 1-800-966-1033. Text line 601-207-4478. Isley Brothers, let's go, boys. Hey, we're back. It's 8:20. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Mr. Basie in the background. Doesn't that get you going? It should get you going. I will share with you a personal note, like I don't anyway. I cut back on coffee this week, and I still seem to be alive. It's been interesting. I think it was for the good. I think we're going to save money on coffee, if nothing else. But I don't notice a major change in my activity level. Maybe I'm a little less frantic. I don't know. Anyway, let's turn that down, Mr. Basie. Thank you for being here Saturday morning. Let's see. Let's go. Well, we got phone call. So let's do that. If we hit the buttons, that's that one and that one. No, okay. There we go. Good morning. You're on the voice main.
Good morning, Tom, and how are you this fine sunny morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I remember, I think it was last week, you guys were talking about UPS systems, like you were talking about having that power available in your Prius to hook onto it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that much about inverters, but are they all 110 volt?
I would assume there are some that are 240 or 220, 240.
Because I got this idea. My wife's on oxygen, and when we lose power, I had a generator, and I had trouble. So I borrowed an electronic guy's scope, and the power is like so hashy from being generated.
Mm.
And they told me I might be better off if I used a small UPS system like they use for computers, depending on size. And, you know, the machine's plugged in anyway. Plug that in. When your power goes out, it gives you time to shut it off until you get the generator back on the line.
Yeah.
But I went around different places, and I couldn't find any generator anywhere, or inverter. Let me go back to that. Inverter. Like they say, the ones at the local Harbor Freight are cheaper than the Honda ones. But I looked at them, and they're all 110 volt, 30 amp.
Yeah.
Like it was made to go to a wrecked vehicle. So I guess it's not really made that they want you to connect it to your house. I mean, you'd have to make sure you had everything you needed on that one.
Yeah, I know you can get inverters, you know, so let's say 12 or 20. Usually 24 volt makes more sense. A 24 volt setup that would invert and give you 240 volts, because I've looked at them. I know they're readily available. Now, that's not a UPS, but you can kind of make your quasi UPS with your own batteries, and then you can size it a little bit better for your need. And in that case, you're about two thirds, three quarters of the way towards doing a solar system anyway, that you could put some photovoltaics in to displace the running the generator very much.
Do you do photovoltaics or just the water side, Tom?
We occasionally have access to panels that we sell. I'm not a contractor. I don't do installations.
I'm an electrician. But okay. I have a perfect site on my house that I think it never has snow in the winter. It gets a lot of direct sun. Would be good for either or.
Yeah.
I don't plan on moving from here. I can't afford to move from here.
I hear you. It's a pretty simple hookup, really. Shopping panels is not as complicated as it might have been, say, 10 or 15 years ago. So the price is well under $1 a watt, and probably most panels now are available for 50, 60 cents a watt, if not less. For new panels, and used panels, which aren't necessarily a bad thing because they don't tend to deteriorate very quickly, are even less. So you can get it.
I noticed quite a few of those systems popping up here and there in Bangor.
Yeah.
And so I thought about it. What I did to get by yesterday until the power came on and I procured a small generator, I had an inverter that I clamp onto my truck battery in case I get stuck somewhere and have to use a power tool.
Sure.
And plugged her machine into that and, you know, ran the car. It was different.
Yeah.
But it worked that way. But I was just curious about that because I did notice that there's quite a bit of hash on the portable generators.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that's probably why a lot of these Lanai companies don't want them hooked into their system because of the hash on the lines and the printed circuit boards.
Yeah. Good. That makes perfect sense.
I didn't see any, you know, scrolling through the index looking for any that were 240 volts. So I was just curious.
Well, I would get on eBay. Get on eBay and take a look there. I know you'll see them there. I had shopped. I was looking for a 48 volt DC inverter because I have a 48 volt setup that I've yet to wire. I just got my heating system hooked up, you know, the day or two before I announce it's heating time. But you know, I've had the inverter for a while, and I was able to And I debated whether I wanted 120 or 240, and almost everything I run in the shop is 120 anyway, so it's not a big deal. But they are available. I know that for a fact.
Well, on your input side was what, 48 volts?
48 volts, yeah.
What do you use for that power, big batteries?
Yeah, I have some lithium batteries that I've gotten. Yeah. And I have a friend, if you are looking for batteries, who has or had, they come and go quickly, 12-volt lead-acid batteries that were used in telecom systems. And
sure,
they get changed out on a regular basis, and they're very substantial batteries. They don't wear out quickly, you know, not like golf cart batteries.
I worked in a phone company building where they had that back then, the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside of the room said, caution, 5,000 amps.
So, yeah.
There's a lot on that, yeah.
Yeah, well, this, my friend who has them available, has recycled batteries for years. When Main Yankee closed, he took the backup batteries out. I think they gave them to him because they were so darn big and heavy, and they were big glass containers that were full of acid. And I mean, they probably weighed 1,000 pounds each at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're lifetime batteries. And I think they gave them to him just to get them the hell out of the building so they could demolish the building. And I know they're scattered around eastern Maine in photovoltaic systems.
Holy crap. You know they got to be the best if they're in a nuke, too. You know what I mean?
They were impressive. They were impressive batteries and scared to live in daylights out of the thought of moving them. But this is something he's done for years. You know, it was his business. He still works in the recycling industry, although he's supposedly retired. I have to catch him when he works for a company out of state. But he has access to a lot of that kind of thing. So if you're looking for batteries, give me a call. I'll put you guys in touch.
Sure, I'll take a look and see that. But now you made me think about the solar array. Maybe that's the better way to go.
Well, it's a good adjunct. It's always good to have the backup. It's not that expensive, especially where you have a need like this.
And I'm not running anything.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just it's a small load. You know, you don't need much. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. But thank you.
Okay. Good luck. Bye bye. You know, my shop. Everything is 120. I don't use a lot of power. The biggest power draw would be the air compressor. And I don't know if I told you this, but I went to use my air compressor like 2 weeks ago, and it wouldn't start. Or it was trying to start, but it wouldn't quite do it. And we went round and round with this thing. And it turned out, it's an air compressor on a tank. That's all I wanted to know about it. I want to plug it in and have compressed air. I was going to do some undercoating. And it wouldn't start. So I monkeyed around with it a little bit, and I thought, well, maybe it's a start capacitor. I'm just spitting in the wind. I'm just guessing. Again, I don't pay much attention to these kind of things. I just expect it to work. So my friend John, who's an engineer, comes over and he's looking at it with me, and we're swapping capacitors and stuff, and it still isn't starting. And he says, well, the unloader might not be working. So what's the unloader? Well, it's a little valve that when you turn the pump on, it removes the load off the compressor so the compressor can start up. And it's a little cheap piece of Chinese stuff that failed. And I'm looking, how do I get an unloader? it's literally the diameter of a pencil, maybe an inch long, and it's got screw connectors on both ends. And I'm looking at this thing, or on one end it has screw connectors, excuse me. I'm looking at it, and let me get online and look around a little bit. And I get online, and I find the actual switch, which has the pressure valve on it and the unloader, and it's like $14 or something. So that has been ordered now that we've diagnosed it, and I know way more about compressors than I did a couple weeks ago, more than I wanted to know too. We'll go here. And when we come back, we'll take some phone calls at 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay. All right. I am sorry. I couldn't resist. I didn't play Sleigh Ride yet for the whole season. It's going to come, though. It's going to be here before you know it. Anyway, I just want to tell you about my friend Alan over at General Appliance and Brewer on Center Street, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you've got appliances in your home, I bet you do. I've heard, you know, we have notes here at the radio station. I get them from the government, and they tell me about your home appliances. And if you have appliance problems, you want to know about Alan over at General Appliance, because he will help you keep them in good repair, running tip-top, top-notch, head of the line. And all you need to know is his phone number, which is 989-4341, or stop in and say, "Hey, Alan, Tom sent me, and I got a problem with my fill-in-the-blank appliance," and he'll get you through it. It's 989-4341, the magic number to call on the telefono to call Alan at General Appliance. The number here at this fine radio station is 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. No text. Unbelievable. At 8:38 on a Saturday morning, not to see any texts. I don't get it. The audience is gone. That's what happened. Okay. So as you know, I peruse the news to keep you up to date on the most important things in my mind, which is not the same as perhaps your mind. And one just jumped out at me. It was a technology thing. And it is that in the International Space Station, are you ready for this? You're going to love this. International Space Station, they're baking cookies, and they're baking them from scratch. Think about that. Cookies in space. How cool is that? And the reason they're doing it, and there is a real bona fide scientific reason. Obviously, just baking would be interesting, but what they usually astronauts are eating is food that gets warmed up because it's shrink wrapped, you know, freeze dried, whatever. if we are sending people into outer space, like to Mars, to keep them from going real bonkers and having a little bit of normal activity, they want to see if they can make food from scratch. And I can't think of a better thing to start off with than cookies. Of course, you remember from last week, the news item that cookies are as addictive as cocaine. But who cares? They're legal. They may be expensive. Fancy cookies, those fancy cookies you buy down in Camden might be $3 a throw, but they're good. And I assume that's the same thing with drugs. I don't know, but I'll stick with the cookies. Thank you. Unlaced cookies too, by the way. Okay. Don't get that out of your mind. Let's go over to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
It may be a little bit quiet because it's the first day of deer season.
Okay, well, it's also the beginning of the heating season. It's official. So.
Right. I have a crazy question.
Okay.
Per se, on the side of my house, I have one of those old street lights, per se. It's not a street light, but per se.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The bulb blew on it, and I went to one of the hardware stores to get a bulb, and they said that I need to know what the number is for the ballast that makes it come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I got to tear it apart a little bit to find that out. But
yeah.
I was also told that I could per se override that wiring and direct wire to the socket, and then I could put a regular light bulb in it.
Yep. I would be inclined to, I would be inclined to convert it to an LED light. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I was driving through Bangor. It was dark out, and I think it was on Center Street, and somebody on lower Center Street has got this LED light that's on all the time on their porch, and it hurts my eyes. It's so bright. It's absolutely amazing. I went down.
It's like you're living in the sky or something.
Yeah,
like,
I went, and I noticed this morning the neighbor, the house right next door has two LED lights, and they're really bright. And I'm wondering if their one neighbor has upset the other neighbor, or they're just trying to keep up. But it's so amazing how effective these things are for the need, like what you have, where you have a street light for illuminating your property or whatever.
Well, it's like a street light, but it's not a street light.
I understand what you're saying. But these LED lights, I would even consider looking at fixtures and maybe even changing it out completely. But you could certainly, if there's reason to keep it, you could remove the ballast and maybe get something that drops right in.
Okay, so I could override that wiring and it wouldn't be an end of the world then, per se?
Yeah, it's hard to say without seeing your light.
A light bulb.
Yeah, if you can get something that go into the socket, you should be able to do that. It sounds like it might be a sodium light that's in there.
Right, and that was the other weird thing. I got one light bulb, and it was like the size of a soda bottle, and the light bulb that came out of it's like the regular size of a regular light bulb you screw into your house.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Good luck.
I was wondering if you'd ever heard of overriding that ballast.
Well, you're taking it out of the equation and bypassing it, yes, and then dealing with a conventional bulb that just takes direct power.
And then just life goes on. Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, good luck. Bye-bye. Now, having said all this, I think there is merit in just going to a regular new light, completely new light. I don't think we're talking about huge expense here. And if you have any doubt when it comes to electrical work, and I don't think it would cost a lot to get an electrician to come in and do it for you just right. Let's see. We've got some texts that have come in. Tom, just turn on the radio. Sorry if I missed the answer to my question. Putting 1-inch styrofoam exterior sheathing, a new construction, is there a special house wrap I should use under the styrofoam or over the styrofoam? I don't think so. I guess if I was going to put house wrap, I would put it under the styrofoam. I'm not sure that that's an imperative that I would consider. I mean, styrofoam is a little bit different animal. If it's blue, pink, gray, colored styrofoam, which is extruded polystyrene, that's nothing's getting through that. So the house wrap is kind of, we usually put house wrap on to stop air from getting through the cracks in the building. Well, the foam does that, so the need for the house wrap becomes less. I don't see the need in this case. If you're leaving the styrofoam exposed for some period of time, you may want to consider wrapping it. But I mean, if you're putting it up now and you don't side it till springtime, it's going to be okay. You don't really need to wrap it. If you're going to leave it up there for longer than that, I'd probably cover it with something. Let's see. Good morning, Tom. Good morning. Thank you. And I got another one here. First Christmas music of 2019. I doubt it. I'm sure somebody has beat me to the punch because yesterday was the first. So, yesterday was All Saints Day. Today's All Souls Day. As a good Catholic boy, at least once upon a time was a good Catholic boy. Which reminds me, I signed up, for the Alumni Association from a high school of which I graduated many years ago. And it was an all-boys Catholic high school where I wore a jacket and tie. As an executive in training, of which if you've met me in person, I think I'm, at least I hope I'm the antithesis of that, or at least I don't know if I aspire to that or not, but when I graduated high school, the jacket and tie went away, although in my closet I have many very smart blazers and tweed jackets that I never get to wear, so someday, there's still time, I can still be an executive or maybe a salesman, maybe a shoe salesman. I could wear a jacket and tie. That'll work. But I signed up for I had signed up for the alumni thing years ago, and I got a thing that says sign up for the alumni thing. So I don't know if they expunged me, which would make sense, or what. But I signed up again, and I'm looking over the alumni thing, and there were two things. One that was a bit of a dismay was, you know, they would seat us in alphabetical order. And the guy who sat in front of me, his name was Bill Fisher, and he died like in October. I'm like, you know, your mortality looks you in the face at that point. When you somebody were in school with, and this happened before as other folks have passed away. I mean, you know, as you get older, it just happens more frequently. But it was kind of a shock because this is the guy who sat right in front of me. And very nice person. He was a teacher for grade school teacher for most of his adult life. And so that was a bit of a shock. But even a bigger shock, it's still an all-boy Catholic high school. Okay? They got cheerleaders. Now, we had cheerleaders when I was in high school. And they were guys. And we had very nerdy, inventive cheers. My high school's got girl cheerleaders. Where did they come from? Do they import them from the girls' school or whatever? They used to have what they called mixer dances, where the boys' school, my boys' school, and would have girls come from the Catholic girls' school. You know, so it's all Catholics and it's all it's all kosher, so to speak. Anyway, they got cheerleaders. I couldn't believe it. Doesn't quite make sense to me. But then again, what do I know? So our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Our text line is 601-207-4478. That would have gotten me out to more sporting events, probably. if for no other reason as to puzzle as to where do these people come from, these young women who are cheering our sports teams. So last weekend, I had a whole bunch of stuff going on last week that was stressful. Nothing horrible, but I just had a lot of business-related things that was distracting me from, it wasn't even car-related, it was just business-related stuff that kept me busy and occupied, and I needed to, I wanted to just step back from it. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to turn things off, especially in my mind. So I think it was Sunday. I went over, every time when I just want to get away from stuff, I'll go over the shop and try to straighten it up, which it's in dire need of because we're still dealing with stuff that has gotten dumped in there from when we moved. So I'm making progress in the office. We have a storeroom in the office, and I'm organizing all my plumbing stuff there. And then in the actual garage where we, you know, I do car work, I wanted to get straightened out around the boiler, the heating system. I had stuff all stacked around that. Obviously, you do not, and it wasn't combustibles, but it was a lot of the hardware I have stored in that corner of the building. And I wanted to, you know, get it a little more organized. All this hardware was on the floor in little containers. So I just got on a workbench, brought all this hardware over, and just started sorting it. And I didn't even have tunes going. Usually, you know, I'll put the headphones on and I'll listen to music while I'm doing it. I didn't. I just sorted hardware. And it was extremely therapeutic to just be there sorting hardware. And I've got a box for my friend Kurt. Kurt, if you're listening, Kurt, I had Kurt come and get some scrap metal that I was, you know, we need to get rid of some car parts and stuff. And I knew there was something else. Well, it was this box of hardware that I created in my shop. So, Kurt, if you're listening, I do have more stuff. I just didn't remember. I couldn't remember where it was. And I'm not done sorting hardware, but, you know, you get in. I have these little bins. I actually got them from Kurt. That you would, you know, put stuff on. You can hang them on the wall. And so I built more shelves to put these on because I had them sitting on the floor. And they were all mishmashed, mixed up because, you know, you throw stuff in. You might start out with Romex connectors in it. And then, you know, oh, here's how did these screws get in here, or this nut and bolt? And so I started sorting out all that stuff, the electrical hardware, nuts and bolts, nails. You may find this hard to believe. I got a lot of nails. And starting to organize it and getting it up out of the way. And then anything that was marginal by way of being, maybe came from a car and it was rusty, and I've got, you know, probably 20 of them. Let's throw this one out or these out and give them the curd for recycling. So I think the box got really heavy as the day went on, especially as time went on and I got tired of looking at this stuff. More and more of it got recycled. But, you know, in certain cars, everything is, many of the fasteners are the same size. And I could tell you in Toyotas, a lot of stuff is 10 millimeter and 12 millimeter. And there's some 14s and 17s and 19s. But, you know, the lion's share, the things that are held in place are 10 millimeter or 12 millimeter. So those are getting sorted out by themselves. And if you go to, say, a Ford, you have a lot of things that are 7 millimeters. Which is convenient. I mean, you know, if you know what size you need, it's convenient because you just have to have a 10. If I'm working on a Prius, I bring a 10 and 12 millimeter socket with me and a couple of wrenches, same size. And I am taking apart most of the car, or at least the parts of the car that I want to attack. On a Ford, years ago, I had taken two Fords. I had one that was in an accident that was really nice and one that wasn't as nice but was intact, and we swapped all the parts over, and I found everything was 7 millimeter. So with that 7 millimeter socket, I did everything on this car and made one out of two and junked out the first one. So that's just what you wanted to know on Saturday morning, isn't it? We're going to take a break. It's coming up here pretty quick. When we come back, second hour, our phone number, 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. And let's go here. We can go out with a tune, I think. I think that would make sense. And I guess that's all I got to say. I'll stop talking now, and we'll listen to Mr. Bennett. He has some philosophical things to share with you. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. 906 is hot and cold on Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. We got the text line up and running, 601-207-4478. If you would like to text me this morning, feel free. If you don't want to talk to me, I understand. I perfectly understand. I know how it goes. It's Saturday morning. Who wants to talk to Gosi on Saturday morning anyway? It's, let's see, oh, and if you missed it first hour, you slept in, you said, you know, I don't want to listen to him first thing I wake up. I gotta have some coffee before I listen to this. I'm calling it. It's the first day of heating season, okay? It's official. I mean, we're getting into now regular days where maybe the daytime temperature is not going above 50. Nighttime temperature could dip down below 30. That's heating season. If you stretched it this far, you're either a glutton for punishment or, I mean, oh, hey, let's do that. That's good radio, too. I'm going to make noise. You're doing pretty well, I guess. You're certainly saving on heat. The civilized situation for household temperatures, I think, is 70 degrees. I know a lot of people might have it 68. I know people who have their house at 55. And I guess the good news is at 55, you'll live through the winter and you'll save a lot of money on heating. But I would be kind of miserable. If I'm sitting there watching TV, this is my rule of thumb. I don't want my nose to be cold. I got a big nose, and I don't want it to be cold. So, yeah, 70 degrees, my nose is not cold. And that's the way it should be. So as I said first hour, also, I've got the heating system back together. I've got fuel coming today. I have wood at home. I've got plenty of wood. I have had some wood fires at night just to take the chill off, primarily because I'm still running my heat pump water heater in my insulated basement, insulated being the operative term here. So what happens if you've spray foamed your basement walls with insulation, it heat pump is taking heat from someplace. In my case, it takes it from the first floor of the house. So the floor is cold because it's chilled because we're making hot water. And so today, I think, is the day we change the clocks, right? We send them back an hour, and I'm turning off the heat pump water heater. So this is a momentous day. This is a pretty big deal. I mean, you know, this is not for the faint of heart. We're into heating season in Maine. And it's time. So I do have firewood. We get a lot of stuff, steel delivered to us for when we make tanks and stuff. So it always comes on a specialized wooden pallet or at least stick wood, depending on how much we're getting. And I pile that stuff up and cut it up, bring it home for firewood. And last night I was getting ready to leave, and I felt guilty because it was comparatively early. So I locked all the doors, and I'm getting in the car and said, you know what? I got to go cut up that wood and I'll get it ready. It's been rained. It's outdoors. It's been getting rained on. I'm going to cut it up into stove size pieces so I can put it in some boxes and bring a box home every time I go home. And in a day or two, I'll have it all that in the basement drying out, and I'll have I've got enough firewood, I think, for when I do make fires to keep me happy. And if power goes out, we'll stay quite comfortable. Speaking of which, I can't tell you enough how tickled I am over the fact that my basement floor has completely dried out from when we did the water line in July. And it's probably a month ago now, just about, I debated where the water line went through the basement wall. It was leaking. And I know if you have water line that comes through a basement wall or a sewer line going out the basement wall, you might have some oozing there. And we've talked about different things you can use to seal them. Hydraulic cement, I'm kind of impressed with. I've used it before. I haven't used it in a while, but I picked up a tub of hydraulic cement. It might be about a gallon and a half worth of stuff. And what was it, like $850, $870, something like that. And it did the trick. It really, the thing is, it's the pipe that's coming through the basement wall is PEX tubing. And PEX tubing is a polyethylene plastic. Polyethylene stuff doesn't like to stick to polyethylene. So I'm kind of intrigued that there's no seepage, that, you know, there's a fair bit of water pressure on the outside of the foundation that would be pushing in to leak into this basement. Especially this year with the rain we've had. We've had so much rain. And I had a lot of water coming in. I mean, we had a little bit of water would come in once in a while. This was a lot. And I was like, oy, what am I going to do here? And it did the trick. It really, I'm kind of amazed. Now, the other option would be to use a solventy type caulk, like a urethane caulk. And I was a little reluctant to do that just because, when we're putting a solvent on a plastic, there's the potential of something softening up. And when you've got a plastic pipe that may be under 100 PSI pressure, which is, I think, where my water pressure is a lot of the time, you don't want to compromise that plastic. Because when that starts to leak at 100 PSI, it's going to make a really big mess. So the cement is pretty benign stuff. And I used it. I also, being as I've got more of it than I'm probably ever going to use for the rest of my life, I used it to, I had a couple of cracks in the basement floor that showed up, hairline cracks, a little more than a hairline. I think because we were running the heat pump down there and it was drying out the concrete. So I used the, I mixed up a little bit of the hydraulic cement to patch those cracks, and it did a good job. I'm knowing where they are and knowing I patched them, I can keep, I will certainly be monitoring, and it will hopefully make a big difference. And it was a cheap date. It's nice to find something that isn't stupid expensive in 2019. So, and of course, we're not expensive. We're cheap date. And it's hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. We're going to take a break and we come back. I guess we're going to pay. The cheap date's paying up now, man. We come back. We'll take some phone calls, maybe, or text messages. 1-800-966-1039. 601-207-4478 is the text line. It is the season. You should be tightening up the house, being as the heating season's starting today. If you haven't, it's time. So stay with us. We'll be back in a bit. Okay, I gotta turn it down. It's too good. It's just too good, but I got to get in trouble. Talk radio, isn't it? It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Our text line is 601-207-4478. Oh, a shopping tip for you out there in radio land. As I mentioned before the break, it's the time of year where you start tightening things up. Walmart has got canned great stuff for $2.97. I'm telling you what, that's a deal. Save some money and grab it. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. This is your old buddy Mark from Bar Harbor.
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still standing, brother.
Good. That's good as it's going to get for us, I think.
Yeah. So, question for you. I'm still on the fence about heat pumps. Now, I know electric rates have gone up, as has heating oil. I generally heat with oil.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit miffed because, for some reason, oil now costs more than gasoline, which was never the case before.
Yeah.
So, I have an 1,100-square-foot wrench, and I'm thinking for a good chunk of the winter, a heat pump would take care of my heating needs here. And I'm curious about the current oil versus heat pump costs.
I was just sitting here during the break thinking, what am I going to talk about when I come out of the break? And I was going to do a comparison.
Well, here you go.
Of course,
yeah. A lot of people are interested in this very thing.
Definitely. I could tell you generally the heat pump is going to be less expensive to operate for the performance it's going to give you for over the course of the heating season. That being said, the gravy times a year are probably now till maybe the middle of December, and then we get into sort of the big crunch for end of December into January maybe. But even then, I think it's probably about a break even in terms of cost. And I'm not running numbers. I'm just doing this from experience. But over the course of the season, it's going to be significantly less expensive. And there's two reasons for that. One is the cost of the fuel. The other is that if you put in a heat pump, a mini split, you'll have maybe one or two outlets in the building. So some fringes of your building might run cooler. So we're getting into this area where you're not heating everything to 70 degrees the way you are with your central oil system. So that buys you some additional savings. Kind of like having the wood stove in the living room, you fire that up and, you know, the bedrooms may be 65 where the living room is 78. That kind of thing is going on. So I think generally there's significant savings, and then when you factor in if you need any kind of air conditioning or dehumidification, the heat pump does that way better than a window unit would or a standalone.
Right, and I currently use a small window unit in the summer for our two periods of 80 to 90 degree weather.
Yeah. When they're there, though,
three days each summer, we get some of that heat and humidity.
Yeah, and it is nice to have. I mean, the beauty of a mini split is that they're really quiet, and so that part of it is not annoying, and they're economical too.
Well, I think in my case, it might even be more savings because I use my heat sparingly this time of year, and what I'll do is I keep the house cool.
Yeah.
An hour before I go to bed, I put in an oil-filled electric heater in my bedroom, run it for a half hour, and then that's good to go, which means I can save a lot of money on oil on the overnight.
Yeah, I think, generally for most people, I think it's pretty easy to make that justification.
And the modern heat pumps are good to basically most of the temperatures we experience
here? Yeah, they just keep getting better. They keep pushing that low number even lower. So I think, I think they're around minus 13 is sort of the cutoff, and they function below that. It's just that they're running basically like an electric heater.
Well, the efficiencies drop.
Right. The coefficient performance is off. But we don't see a lot of that weather. It's maybe a couple of percent of the whole heating season you get into that realm.
And here on the coast, even sometimes never.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in Searsport, and I don't see that. Once in a blue moon. When I was doing the house, I remember I had a couple of nights I was working there, and I left, and it was like 8 below zero. In Searsport, it was, of course, colder in Bangor, but that was unusual, and I haven't seen that in a while.
Right. Well, thank you. I have something to think about now.
Yeah.
Because I know now with Efficiency Maine offering a $500 rebate. Oh, sizing wise.
Yeah, you
one
really.
Last question.
Yeah, you're whoever comes to look at the house is going to have to guide you on that, do a heat load calculation, and tell you what size unit. There's not a big price spread between the smaller units and the bigger units as I recall. I don't know if that's changed much. I haven't had anybody telling me that they're freaked out over the price of heat pumps having gone up a lot. And I haven't shopped them lately, but I don't think it's a big difference.
Is it better to put in a little extra capacity?
Absolutely, I think so.
That?
Yeah, because these units will ramp up to match the load. So, a little bit bigger is a good thing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, great. Thanks for the information.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Mark. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you in a dog's age.
Yeah, it has literally been probably two dog's ages at this point.
Two dog's ages, probably. That's right.
All right, take care.
And I have sent a few people up your way that were interested in Priuses. I don't know if they got there or not.
I appreciate that. I think I remember speaking to at least one, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, Tom.
Take care, Mark.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, Mark is an accomplished blues guitar player. And I met him years ago in a music store a good friend had in downtown Bangor, Steven Strings. Anyway, that was a long time ago. And I won't call it a guilty pleasure, but my friend's, his name is Steven Johnston, had a music store over where the bagel shop used to be right in the center of downtown. And I was on Harlow Street. And if I wanted to just decompress, I'd go over to Stevens and we just sit there and either look at musical instruments, talk about musical instruments, play musical instruments. It was a moment in time. It was pretty nice. And probably one of the high points was he used to have jam sessions on Saturdays. And was that a Saturday? I think it was. Maria was with me and I couldn't keep up with these guys playing. I didn't know whatever song they were playing, and they had a washtub bass. And I want to tell you, I had so much fun playing that thing because I actually made melodious sounds exit from the washtub. It was a nice setup. So anyway, those days, it was a while ago. And it was a moment, one of those moments that we'll go do this. And then you look back and you say, that was a lot of fun. And I met a lot of interesting people. I met Mark. Met Mark Miller, the blues player from down southern Maine now, who was wanted to, I guess jam would be the term, with me. And I don't jam. I'd like to, but he was so polite and nice in terms of putting up with my musical ineptitudes. You remember that kind of stuff. Anyway, long story. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Let's see. Socket size for a bolt is not the thread or bolt size. Well, that's true. I was talking about fasteners for Priuses. 10 millimeter and 12 millimeter socket size bolts are all threaded the same or 95% of them are. Some of the 10 millimeters are screws, not bolts, but there's 10 millimeter head. That's all I want to know. I don't, and honestly, all the fasteners have the same, almost everything that I get into has the same thread pitch. So it's the same fast, different lengths, obviously, different uses, but just to have them together. A lot of the, and 10 millimeter is used, that size bolt, that diameter, and I don't remember exactly the dimension, but is also the same size fasteners used for holding license plates, of which I'm always looking for those fasteners. Or I was until I bought a whole bunch of them on the eBay. Speaking of which, we got to take a break. It is 9:30. The day goes. We'll be back in just a bit. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 9:35. It's hot and cold on Saturday morning. Okay, so here's the deal. A little bit. I'm going to turn this down. Not too low because it's just good. Mike Dow just walks in, okay? And he has, for me, mono versions. For those of you out there who are upset about the stereo antics that happen here, a mono, complete library, mono version. Are you sitting down? Sit down. Of Gary Lewis and the Playboys, autographed by Mr. Gary Lewis himself. Whew. Does it get any better than that? This man is Mr. Music. And he's right in the next studio. He's right over there right now writing for The Edge magazine. Oh, God bless him. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800. I can't remember the phone number. I got Gary Lewis autograph right next to me here. 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478 if you'd like to call in this morning. Let's do this. Go over there. We got the phones working. Good morning. You're on the voice. Whoop. No, I didn't do it. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I recently bought a large building. It has three apartments in it. It's not that old. It was built in 1992. It's about 4,000 square feet, and it has a 30-year-old boiler. And my furnace guy tells me I'm going to have to replace it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if technology has moved forward. Should I be looking at a different kind of system? What should I be looking for when I replace this?
Is this a multi-story building or a single-story?
It's a two-story with a large walkout basement with four garages in it.
Okay. It's interesting. I guess I would shop a couple of things. I would look at the possibility. I'm not sure where it's rentals. You want to just put a mini split in and hope it's going to carry the load. That'd be something you'd have to talk to a contractor about. I guess I would be inclined to look at. Do you have access to natural gas?
Not here. No.
Okay,
it's nearby, but not out where this is.
Yeah, okay, so I guess I would be shopping both that heat pumps and a new oil system. See where that puts me.
Now, someone told me that the newer system, something to do with the pumps, run backwards compared to the older ones. Am I being told dirt, or is that?
Well, a heat pump is reversible, so it can do cooling in addition to heating.
I see.
And that obviously is an advantage. The other advantage for you as a landlord is if your tenants pay the electric, they're paying for the heat.
Right.
And that gets you off the hook of them, you know, leaving windows open and turning the thermostat way up.
But if I go with heat pumps, I have three units. I'd have to put three heat pumps in.
Yeah.
I could look into that. I don't know if that'll work or not.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we can only go so far on the radio, but I think it's worth getting a couple of companies in that have experience to see what they have to say, you know, in terms of whether it would work for you or not. It's worth investigating, that's for sure.
All right.
Okay, good luck.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's see, over to line three here, I think we might have Pete.
Good morning.
Morning, you're there.
You do have me. I called twice, but I got disconnected both times.
Yeah, something wasn't working right on the phone. I'm sorry.
That's right, I don't mind. Let me ask you a question. When I call and I hear the commercial playing,
yeah,
If I start talking, will I talk over the commercial? Like,
no.
Will everybody hear it?
No, because I have you
That's
turned down.
That's not useful to me.
Yeah.
All right.
I have the power here.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I could turn you off right now, Pete. I don't have that control in my office, but I do here.
Yeah, you don't have that control in your office, so you remember that. You got to spend the rest of the day with me. I'll dial it up to 11.
So, Pete, we touched on it last week that we've got some cars we're basically blowing out as is.
Oh, yeah.
And as is means we're not going to make them in some of them we may actually inspect, but most of them are being sold as is, where is, they have to be towed off the lot, no inspection. But
here's the deal with them is we bought them to get them inspected and put them out for sale, but we've got way too many cars right now. So they are vehicles that will go on the road at some point. They just need varying degrees of love and attention.
Right. And given the fact that we may be looking at snow soon, we're inclined to let them go rather than have them here. And some of them may just take a sticker right out of the gate. And we do have one that is truly an as-is. It's a Honda Element that was hit in the rear, but it actually moves under its own power, and it's not boogered up to the degree that the suspension is all messed up.
Yeah.
It's hit over the on the driver's
fuel
side. It's sort of around it's the rear light area, but around the side slightly to where the fuel door is. And I noticed as I moved it out yesterday, I have a lot of spare stuff in there for doing the repair work.
I also noticed that there was extra back seats.
I noticed that. We must have put that in there when we moved. So you get three back seats for a car that only has two back seats. How cool is that?
So, but one other thing on the as-is cars is I lost my train of thought now because you went on too long.
I'm sorry.
They
have to be towed off the lot.
They have to be towed off the lot. Inevitably, someone's going to be like, well, how much for it inspected? I don't know, however much you pay.
We're not doing that.
And whatever it costs for you to go get the work done. But I promise it'll be less than if I were putting it out for sale.
Yeah.
regarding the Honda Element.
Excuse me, these are cheap dates. This is not, everybody always comes in and wants a cheap car. These are cheap.
These are the cheap cars. You're not gonna get a $5,000 car for $3,000, but this will put you pretty close.
You're gonna. I don't think we have any of these that even get to $3,000. They're all under three.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I think they started around $700. My memory serves me right.
Now remember though, don't you? Those are the ones that are gonna need a lot of love. Those are your project cars.
Yeah, they need a little more work. Also, we have several that are not going to take a sticker that have good drivetrains. So if you have a Prius that needs a motor or a transmission.
We got one that's got, it just runs so beautifully. It's only got 102,000 miles on the engine. But it was just to touch on what you were mentioning about the Element before, just so everybody knows, that Element is all-wheel drive, the one that's hit in the rear.
Yeah.
We did just put another Element out for sale, which is also all-wheel drive. It's a black one. It's an 05 with 209K on it or something like that. I don't know. It's $49.95. So it has undercut my Element, which I have for sale. Now I think that's the mark of a pure and true car salesman, and that I have now undercut myself.
They're taking one for the company.
I am. I benefit no matter which one of them we sell. So fine with me. But they're all-wheel drive, and they do cut through the snow nicely.
They do.
I mean, I don't go bombing around in blizzards, but when I was living in Winterport last winter, every time it was snowing on my way to or from Searsport to go to work, I got where I was going okay.
I
didn't slide around at all.
I have one that I have that's a loner, and a few times last winter I used that just because my driveway is challenging to get out of if it's really deep snow and it's not plowed. And of course, those were the times I left the plow somewhere else, not at my house. But
yeah.
So anyway, if you're looking for some projects that are fun, Priuses, or you need some parts cars that will not take a sticker, those are really cheap, and we've got some of those. I'm thinking of the one by the door there. I've taken everything out of. It's
nobody wants that one.
Yeah, we can't. I was thinking of the motor transaxle, but I think I've taken enough off the motor that the motor's not going to be. anything. But we do have, as Pete mentioned, we have a couple that have good motors and transmissions that would be pretty cheap date, cheaper than you'd get from a junkyard, and you get the whole car to pick at.
You get the whole car. You can put it out in the yard, bury it halfway.
Yeah.
Have something to sit in.
Yeah.
You sit out there and read.
Yes, sir.
So what's been going on? What have I missed? I was having my V8, so I didn't call right away.
Oh, yeah. Pete has been into V8, canned V8 juices for a while here now, it seems.
Well, this one was the vegetable one. I think I like this a lot better than the juice one.
Okay.
I feel good after I have it. I think it's psychosomatic, but I feel healthy. I feel like it counteracted all the red meat I ate yesterday.
Does it have caffeine in it?
This one doesn't, no. This one's just like beets and carrots and things of that nature, and it's spicy.
That's going to make you like healthy or something.
I know. I'm feeling like I could fly.
Well, you know, I noticed there's a jack-o'-lantern here in the studio, and last week it was full of candy. This week it's empty, and I didn't even get it. I haven't touched it. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll have a piece of candy. And I look, and it's all gone. Those guys, those morning guys, ate all the candy.
I can't believe that. It's not like they compensate you for this show.
Well,
a couple of Tootsie Rolls is the least they could do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I could take the jack-o'-lantern home, I guess.
Take the whole jack-o'-lantern home. Oh, bring me the jack-o'-lantern. Come on.
No, I can't do that. It's not mine. It's not mine.
Nope. What are we doing? Is nobody calling? Or
I guess not. Let's see. We got any texts here? No texts for Pete. What?
Nobody likes me.
The Pete Gozzi fan club is in the bathroom or something.
When am I getting my own show?
I think next Saturday you'll have your own show at the rate I'm going here.
So I had there's actually some people out in the yard right now. They were just looking at cars. I didn't want to bug them.
Okay.
Plus it's warm in here.
Well, if you need, you lit off the stove.
They're leaving. Yeah, no, I lit it off. It started okay. This doesn't seem like it's the normal running stove the way that works. But
it is a unique operating system. I've thus far,
let me paint a picture for the listening public. There's a light switch wired into the top of the stove. Okay, that's got to be on. All right, then there's two extension cords coming off of it that are wired into it, an orange one and a black one. You plug both those in. Then after the fire starts, you unplug the orange one, and then you let it run until it's out of pellets. If you want the fire to stop, you
turn the light switch.
You turn the light switch off, but you leave the black plug plugged in for a good hour or so until it's done. Then you unplug that, then you turn the light switch back on so it's ready to go for the next day.
That seems to make perfect sense to me. There will be more layers added to make it more autonomous.
Okay.
Look, it's Saturday morning. I didn't want you to be freezing your butt off. And
I appreciate that.
The phones have started ringing, so I'm going right to the phones.
Okay.
I think you've conjured up something.
I was not the fire marshal.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Morning.
I just wanted to call Pete and tell you that I'm very happy for you that your old man let you out of the closet this week. You sound awesome this week. So
Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay, there you go, Pete. And then we got line two going, too. Hi. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. It's Dave the Architect.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Not too bad for a man twice my age.
Yeah.
Touch yourself.
About the same.
Yeah. I hear you. Hey, about that Element that you're selling.
Yeah.
How many miles?
Which one are we talking about?
The cheap one, a black one and a blue one.
The cheap one is the one that was in the accident. I think it's got 160.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
It's an 07.
That's nice. Sweet.
And it's copper colored, Dave.
Well, what do I care?
It's grown on me. I didn't like copper colored vehicles. I really like them now. I've had several Elements come through that way.
Sure. Yeah. Understood. Well, you said you have to tow it off. I suppose I could put it on a trailer, right?
Absolutely. That would be towing it off. Dave, we've got it up on Craigslist if you want to look, or it's on our website too, Prius.store.
Oh, okay. Good. Good to know.
Yeah.
No.
There's also a really nice blue one on Craigslist right now.
All right. I have a second question for you as well.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, there was a caller who was talking about generators and heat pumps and electric circuit boards and so forth.
Mm.
That did I hear that correctly, where your common run-of-the-mill generator might fry the circuit board on your heat pump, or did I get that wrong?
I he didn't say that, but he said that the power that was coming off the generator he was running was very hashy. He was an electrician, and he put an oscilloscope on it, and it wasn't, a nice sine wave. It had a lot of interference, might be the right word. It wasn't a clean sine wave. So I would assume that might affect something. Certain things have to have that nice sine wave. I would, a lot of stuff that would, that has an AC plug on it just changes it over to DC. And I think that might get, depending on the sophistication of the power supply, it might be, okay, but it's the ones that, that are not okay. And you don't know what they are until they blow. So I don't,
right.
I would assume that maybe a heat pump would be challenged by that.
Sure. Yeah.
I know, because those are variable frequency drives, I believe, that are DC inverters, and I think they're more. They need clean power. I guess I could say that with some confidence.
Yeah, in doing hospital design work, we specify certain outlets to be clean or dirty, or clean versus utility power.
Yeah,
and anything with a circuit board, I'm no electrician, but I would be very surprised if they were happy on a dirty circuit. So I would also surmise, for whatever it's worth, that lower priced generators provide dirty power, and higher priced name brands are more likely to provide clean power.
Yeah.
But again, until you put a scope on it, you don't really know.
That's right. And the is that your phone ringing?
No.
Oh, it's Pete. I'm sorry. The other thing is, since you brought it up, there are differences in inverters, and some inverters do not create a pure sine wave. They create either what they call a modified sine wave, which doesn't work with some electronics. So
right.
for what that's worth. Yeah. And the cheap ones are usually modified sine waves. So you really have to have a basic understanding of what you're looking for when you're shopping these things.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay. Well, Dave, it's good to hear from you.
Same. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. And I think Pete's on the phone.
No. I'm still here. I'm sorry. There was a call. It was okay. A customer or something.
Oh, what's that all about?
What? I got rid of him.
Let's see. Is this something I can read? Hi, Tom. I've been listening to the whole show. Is your buddy Alan going to get you to help on his fixer-upper house he bought in Orrington? Probably not. I had to stop and think there for a minute. This is Alan from General Appliance. I didn't know he got a fixer-upper house in Orrington.
That's Alan who sent the question.
It could be. Oh, you're sharp, Pete. I got to give you that. I haven't spoken to Alan recently. I haven't broken anything, so I'm good right now. And he hasn't requested my assistance, so that's probably good. I think we got time for one more quick call here, Pete. Good morning. Right. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah, you're right. No can do with the generator and the heat pumps. I had a system designed, and then they found out I had a standby generator, and they said nope. Can't do it.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
That was from the big people who put in the, who have the number one, number of heat pumps put in Maine. So they know what they're talking about.
Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Pete.
All right.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
We got to let you go. We're almost out of time. Pete, you've built up my audience. I appreciate that.
I bring in the callers.
You're bringing in the quality calls.
Energy.
The quality calls are coming in this morning as soon as Pete shows up.
That's okay.
You know, Pete, I could stay home and just show up at the shop at 9 o'clock, and you come in here at leave the house at 5 a.m. and come up?
I don't think the world's ready for that.
Okay. Yeah, Pete is not Mr. Sunshine first thing in the morning.
No. No, it takes me a good hour and a half to get this perky, and then I got to have a V8.
All right. Well, you know, I guess we'll bid everybody adieu for this week, Pete, because we're just about out of time.
Okay.
I'll see you in a little while.
All right. I'll stay here.
Okay. Stay right there. Don't move.
All right.
Thanks, Pete.
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week.